You're listening to Current Issues, the radio show. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Actually, I was told that Mel and Layla... Oh, they're back on? Oh, okay. Because the latest thing was that they dropped off. Well, before I go to Mel and Layla, actually, just want to let everyone know that the debate is over with. And actually, it's amazing with these presidential debates that everything has to be agreed upon by all parties. You know, the questioning, the topic questions, and the settings, everything has to be approved. And so, and they have to get the questions like 2 weeks before. And so I don't know what kind of debate is that, but I did not get to hear it, but I can imagine what went on in the presidential debate. And, well, tomorrow is my television program, so I guess I will be talking more about what went on in the United Nations this past week and also what went on in the debate tonight. Okay, we got Mel and Layla back. Layla, you were making a very good point there at the end. Your son actually started exploring Islam when he was 18, you said?
Yes. That's the
thing. So he wasn't this hardcore Muslim fanatic.
No. Because I was raised in a Muslim Christian environment, and so was he. We used to like celebrate Christmas and Eid both, you know. And I was raised like that, and he was raised like that. But when he turned 18, he started questioning about Islam. And as his lawyer said, he was just asking questions, trying to, you know, like, what is jihad and stuff like that. And when I mentioned earlier that Ziad barely knew Boyd, in fact, you know, his total probably association with Boyd was about 24 hours, if even 24 hours. But the government liked to paint, you know, a picture of, you know, Ziad was really around Boyd for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I think the government, you know, my theory is the government needs terrorists convicted in jail.
They need enemies. Throughout history, they need some kind of enemy, like the Red Scare, you know, divide and conquer and all of that. So, well, basically, they're just using my son as a scapegoat.
Well, I think, you know, again, I think the government wants to prove that it is fighting terrorism out there. And the proof, since we cannot get real terrorists, that because there are actually none out there that we can capture except the ones that we create here and there. But they need to actually show that they are fighting, and the proof of that is our jails have hundreds of terrorists in it. Mel, is that, do you think this is what they got? Because definitely, I mean, Ziad was no threat. The government, I am sure, 100%. It's just like when they said Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, and they knew that they were lying at that time. George Bush knew he was lying about that, but he needed to scare people and needed to use the fear factor here and to put it in people's minds. So, I mean, the government, I am sure, with all the intelligence that we have and the money we spend on intelligence services, I'm sure they know that Ziad is innocent, and innocent, not even bystander, just an innocent man whom they want in jail just to say we have a terrorist in jail. Is that how you read this?
Yes, exactly. And they know they have this, the whole concept of preemptive actions, you know, like our preemptive war on Iraq. You know, if they weren't about to attack us, you know, that's how I read it. And after 9/11, I think our Homeland Security grew a lot. There's a lot of people out there now that have to keep their jobs, and they have to create some terrorists because there aren't any, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and I know he talked about solitary confinement a little, but I think one thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is that many of these cases are won because the people are in solitary confinement for often years before they go to trial. So when they get to that point, they're not really capable of doing a good defense. Many of them reach a plea agreement. You know, so that's how they're winning these cases, I think. They don't, even the accusations, they don't accuse them of doing anything. They accuse them of thinking about doing something, you know, in the future. So it's, I don't know, it's very scary. I would like to promote a couple of events we have coming up, too, as far as getting educated. As Glenn Greenwald is our keynote speaker, and we're going to have events in Detroit tomorrow night, and San Francisco the night after that, and Dallas the night after that, and then in New Jersey.
Can you tell us more about it, like who's speaking?
Yeah, I said the keynote speaker will be Glenn Greenwald, and he'll be, okay. You probably read his latest book with Liberty and Justice for Some, or Two-Tiered System of Justice. So he really speaks to this whole issue, and he's excellent. But all the details about these can be found on that website, civilfreedoms.org, and anybody in the Detroit area.
Say that one more time, the website.
Yes, civilfreedoms.org. And so all these events can be found on there. So if people are in those areas, they come. I think that's, again, getting educated and educating others is the key to their seventh hour. The silence of the American people is allowing our government to do this, is my belief. And most people are silent because they don't know what's going on.
So it's Glenn Greenwald, and actually it's going to be in Dallas and many other places, Detroit, Santa...
Yeah, Detroit, San Francisco and New Jersey, and like all the
Brunswick and New Jersey.
Yeah.
Layla.
Uh huh.
It seems like you really need a lot of help in organizing. Do you have anybody else with you working as a team? I mean, do you have anybody else around you? Do you have anybody else with you working on this thing?
No, and Ronnie, no, none. I have Mel, thank God, you know, I have Mel, but she's in Florida. And I have Project Salam, which is based in Albany, New York. But here in Raleigh, I have nobody, no.
What is Project Salam?
Project Salam was formed by a lawyer named Steve Downs, and because of some case that happened there in Albany that was, you know, preemptive prosecution by the FBI. So he saw the injustices and he saw how unfair it was, so he formed this organization called Project Salam. And probably Mel knows more about it than I do.
Well, you know something, I mean, I'm thinking that you are the classical showpiece in these gatherings that are like with Greenwald. I think you should try to get yourself in some of these gatherings. I mean, not necessarily this one in particular, but I really think civil freedoms should consider, and Mel, maybe this is something that you guys can, you know, maybe suggest, or because, you know, her case would go excellent with what Greenwald is going to talk about.
Yes, and in fact, we do a lot of that when we have events. These particular events are fundraisers, so they'll be a little bit different, but Layla has spoken at several of our events, actually, and because you're going to hear the voices of the victims, you know, it's very powerful. So we can talk about it theoretically, and then you talk to somebody that's happened to, you know, the mother of somebody who's going to jail for 30 years. So, that's very powerful. We try to do as much as we can.
Yeah, definitely. So, Layla, you probably need to strategize. You need to get a team going, because definitely you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You just have to form a group and try to get as many people from around you, from, you know, North Carolina, to actually help.
I've been trying here in North Carolina, but people are not being responsive. I think people in the South are very different than people elsewhere. And
if you don't think you are the right person to actually approach this, mm-hmm. try maybe we can get somebody else who will approach them instead of you approaching them.
I would love to. I would love to have some support over okay. here. It's very
well,
important
I'm
for me.
I'm trying to do the best that we can because I really think in this case, and I've seen many cases where actually Robert talked about where they had the FBI and government informant to infiltrate a group, not even a group. You know, they'll start a chat in a chat room online. They will befriend some of these young Muslims, you know, 18, 19 years old. And I really think it's not going to be hard to find some Muslims. You know, it's not going to be hard to find Americans, you know, much less Muslims, who don't agree with what the government is doing, who don't agree with the war in Iraq, you know, who don't agree with... There are many, millions of people in the United States who don't agree with the government's policy on in the Middle East. And I just think that your Ziad's case is the classical case of injustice, justice done wrong. And I really think it needs to be publicized. It needs to be publicized for the sake of the Constitution of the United States because, you know, we keep saying that we, you know, our founding fathers, and we keep saying that people died in World War II so we can gain our freedom. And it looks like we, the people, are not protected by the document that was created by the founding fathers to protect us because, you know, we are in a republic, and in a republic, everybody's rights are guaranteed. But in Ziad's case, it looks like it has been a clear mishandling of the Constitution.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree, Mel?
No, absolutely. And this case and many cases. You know, and speaking as a non-Muslim, I would, if there are non-Muslims listening, I think these are the people that really need to speak up. Many of them are really ignorant and they don't think it applies to them,
yeah.
but they're wrong. And they need to speak up, and they're not in as much danger as Muslims are, you know, being the next one.
I'll tell you what, people listening to us on this network, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 10 Muslims listening to us. The vast majority are the people that you are talking about.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes.
And I encourage them to speak up.
And they are very well informed too. One suggestion, Layla, is try to probably get somebody to design a better website for you, and just go with freeziad.com or something.
Okay.
So it'll be easy for people to remember that.
Okay.
Because sometimes they might not remember, like, Ziad, Yagi, and then with the spelling, and especially the way you spelled it, or you spell his name, is a little bit different than most people spell Ziad.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, but we will be in contact, me and you, we will be talking, and I'll give you more suggestions, and definitely I am on your side.
Thank you, Hisham. Thank you.
Very good. Well, Mel, I just want to say thank you for coming on, and hopefully we will continue following this case with you. And hopefully Ziad will be home with his mother soon.
Yes, thank you for having me, and thank you for covering this
You're
story.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you,
Layla, again for coming on, and I must say good night to both of you right now.
Good night. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's really sad, and you know, things can happen. Things can happen to any of us. It doesn't have to be now. It's Muslims. Well, you never know. If we don't stand up now and protect, you know, forget about Ziad, protect the Constitution, protect our rights, then you're next. If it happened to Ziad, the American young man who did not really know much about Islam until he was like 18 years old, And he wanted to live, actually, as you heard his mother a couple of weeks ago, that he just took a trip. He wanted to go see the land where his father came from. He took with him a friend of his from Egypt. They visited Jordan. Apparently, they went to other places like Germany. I mean, just like any two American kids going out there, taking some time to go see the world. They went to the beach in Egypt. I mean, that's not a place where you will find terrorist organizations to join. I mean, when you go out to the beach, that's, you know, terrorist organizations and war and jihad and all this stuff, that's probably the furthest from his mind. And the government will say, oh, yeah, they went there looking for organizations so they can join. And, you know, just like his mother said, he had a two-way ticket. So he was coming back. And I don't think he was coming back as a jihadist, as the United States government said. Well, he thought about, that's why he went there. So he thought about joining an organization that doesn't even exist. And it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. This is something I said many, many times. We can't find real terrorists. Do you know how many Al-Qaeda prisoners do we have? How many? Just name some. Yeah, we keep, the only one that we keep naming is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Okay? And we don't even know if that's him. We don't even know if it's true. We don't even know what they convicted him on. We don't know anything about him. But yet, we are fighting terrorism. And we don't even have any prisoners. Why these cases are not publicized? Because they can't publicize them. If they publicize them, they're going to be exposed. We'll be right back.